Abbey Dental, sponsors of Late Lunch, for all aspects of today's dental care. Highly recommended throughout the Isle of Man.
Welcome to the Late Lunch Leftovers, where we take a look back at some of our best bits from the previous week. It was another bank holiday week as we celebrated Senior Race Day on Friday, but we still packed the four-day week with all sorts of stuff for you. We were joined by a dog and a fish who challenged us on Tuesday. We were encouraged to have a clear out by the Clutter Queen. And first, let's hear a bit about our charity of the week, representing the work of the wonderful Hyperbaric Chamber. Remember, you can recommend a charity for this feature by emailing latelunch@manxradio.com.
The Late Lunch Charity of the Week. Please tell us your name and charity.
I'm John Horton. I'm the manager of the Hyperbaric Chamber. The charity name is Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy, Isle of Man.
How did the charity start and what is its purpose?
We have begun since the 31st of March this year, but it all began in 1983. The purpose of the Isle of Man Hyperbaric Chamber's operations is to look after people who suffer from decompression illness, or known as the bends, for diving casualties, right through to multiple cirrhosis, problem wounds.
Tell us about your team.
The team that consists of the Hyperbaric Chamber at this time is really led by our retired hyperbaricist, David Downey. And then, of course, right next to him with many years' service is Debbie Barron, who's been a chamber operator for many years. And she has been supported by Keith Watterson, another chamber operator.
Who is the charity for?
The charity is for patients of the Isle of Man suffering from a very large range of treatments and therapeutical treatments that they require.
Which other organisations do you work with?
We work, obviously, with health. We work with doctors and we work mainly, obviously, with Nobles Hospital. Nobles Hospital, in due course, will be providing us with the medical cover, very, very needy and required, for hyperbaric oxygen on the Isle of Man.
What are your main goals?
The main goals of our charity is to heal people and do our very best to treat people who are our patients for a multiplicity of illnesses that they have.
How do you see the charity developing over the next 5 years?
What we wish to do over the next 5 years is, initially, we are now looking for to raise funds, and we've run a campaign for funds to have provided a brand new hyperbaric chamber on the Isle of Man. And we need as much funds as we can. And I appeal to many members of the public out there to support the Isle of Man Hyperbaric Chamber in whatever way they can. And in particular, TT riders who have been treated by us before, we're looking to those to raise funds, hopefully over TT, in order to support us.
How is the charity funded?
The charity is funded mainly by public sponsorship and the public supporting the charity whenever they can by raising funds for the Isle of Man Hyperbaric Chamber.
How can people support you?
People can support us in many ways by running sponsorships, simply donating money, and doing whatever they can, like any other charity, any other worthy charity on the Isle of Man, to support the aims of the chamber, which is to have a brand new chamber installed and then recommence treatment just as soon as we are able.
Where can people find out more?
People can find out more if they contact the HBOT, that's Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy Isle of Man. We are a registered charity. Our website is hbot.im.
Profile complete.
The Nation Station, Max Radio.
We are joined by John Dog Collister. It is Challenge Tuesday. We'll be revealed about that a little bit later. But Dog, you've brought somebody with you.
Brought the fish with me.
You've brought the fish with you.
That's good card. Yeah.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any more bizarre. Fish, welcome. Is that your real name?
No. Not a real name, but everybody calls me Fish.
Yeah. Do you fish? Is fish something?
No, and to be honest, I'm the only non-swimming fish in the whole world.
So you genuinely don't swim?
No.
Well, you do well on an island then.
No, there's no need to swim. You have a ferry.
Good point, yeah. And you come over most years, do you, to marshal at the TT?
Yes.
How long have you been coming for?
I started coming in 1996, and since then, every single year. Even in 2001, when you had the foot and mouth. Yeah.
And what is it that brings you back year on year then?
To be honest, most of my friends over here, I think this is in the first place, the friends. and I like to see him at least once a year. And then the bikes, of course, and all around, so the whole party around it.
And how did you meet Dog then?
He came to the Glenwillan campsite in 96 on a Ducati. He borrowed, he said. Huh?
Yep.
And so and he asked me, and my friends, why are you staying on this campsite? I said, because we just arrived and had no idea where to go. And so he told us to go to the Kirkmichael Football Club. And since 1997, yeah, I stayed there. Not for the last year and this year, but I think the 20 years in between I was there.
And when you're marshalling, do you have a particular spot that you marshal at each
time? Usually Alpine, yeah. Mm-hmm. The first day ever, so it was again John's fault that I marshal. The first day ever, I was at, with John at Balaf. And from then on, usually to the Chief Sector Marshal Kevin Quinn, yeah, and at Alpine, yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in this afternoon. I'm sure you're going to have a great time. We might get you involved in the challenge as well, because Dog, on a Tuesday, we always invite somebody in who challenges us to make something. What are you going to get us to make?
Well, I'm making three legs at the minute. Do you pluralise that? Or three legs? Three legs. S. The apostrophe S. Out of copper. I make them out of rushes as well. So I've been making loads of them. Technically on the wireless, that's the wireless to me now, really. On the wireless, it's not really a visual thing.
Don't you worry, we've got cameras.
Right. But I brought a little clump of wire, and I can make one while we're here. And obviously you've got a couple anyway to show people what the completed one looks like.
They are stunning. And we've also got a tiny little Bumby cage.
Bumby cage made out of copper as well.
Just remind us what the significance of a bumby cage is.
Bumblebees, the story is bumblebees were bad fairies, naughty fairies, done something wrong. And children were shown how to make a bumby cage out of rushes, traditionally out of rushes. And you would, it's like a handle, and then like a bowl on the top, a shape on the top, and you'd make it all but. You'd leave a gap at the top. You'd sit by a foxglove, wait for a bumblebee to go inside the foxglove, as if you didn't want to be, if you didn't like handling them, and you would put the foxglove to the entrance to the hole, the bumblebee would go inside, and then you would shut it up so you'd have a bumblebee trapped inside. Now, remember, children were told bumblebee was a bad fairy, a naughty fairy. What would happen at night when the children had gone to bed, mother or father would open it up, you just undo the top, let the bumblebee go, and then put a stone or a shell inside so that they would then have still have a rattle, but they were told that the bumblebee had been changed back into a fairy because he'd been caught and been taught a lesson. So yeah. It's a great thing. I've been with a crowd of people, Americans, for example, on a cruise ship, and you make something and you've got them eating out of your hand. Yeah.
It's just a brilliant thing.
Yeah, and it's a great thing.
And you've brought in some tiny ones here made out of copper that are absolutely beautiful, and they've got tiny little shells in,
there's
like
a periwinkle
shells.
In there, or Fagog. Yeah. Fagog, or Fagog, as they call it. Periwinkle Shore is north of Peel, near to where the old swimming pool used to be. This is going around the headland, and that's Tri-Fagog, and Fagog is periwinkle, which is what's inside there.
They're beautiful. They are beautiful.
And they are whistles. If you put them in between your fingers, you can make a whistle.
Oh, I remember seeing you try to do that. I could never do it.
I've got to bring one with me to show you.
Well, I'm going to commission him to make a series of these beautiful. In different sizes that I can use when I'm gigging. And just very quickly, how long would it take you to make something like that?
A copper one, probably 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh. 5 minutes.
I've done a rush one in about 3 minutes. Not the best one I've made in 3 minutes, but I could knock them out fairly quickly. The copper is a little bit more preparation and a little bit more, particularly the handle, maybe longer. The handle is difficult to get the handle nice and neat and right and correct. But, you know, it's once you've sorted that, it's...
Piece of cake. I should say Fish would be a brilliant manager for Dog here because he keeps suggesting different things he can do with it, such as it could potentially be an earring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be a key ring. You could put it on your keys.
Could be like a little microphone.
Yeah, because this and the beautiful three legs as well, they've each got little hooks on, you see, so you can actually hooks on.
Get it right.
I make hooks, not
hooks.
We're going to be told off a lot.
They've got hooks on. So, yeah, so you can hang them up in different places. And also, we've got a dog and fish. So we've got a dogfish. Govig.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
We should just say welcome to the Clutter Queen Isle of Man. And if we were to walk into your house right now, how clutter-free would it be?
Oh, terrible, to be honest. We've had TT visitors, so we just got back into the house today. So it's chaotic, to say the least.
Does that put you sort of on edge when people are being messy around you?
Yeah, I get quite anxious when the house isn't tidy. Generally, when I go to bed of an evening, everything's in order. Cushions have been plumped and it's nice coming down in the morning to make a cup of tea and the house is sorted out.
Do you think there's something in the fact that a tidy house equals a tidy mind?
Yeah, I think so. It's less stressful. If you're looking for stuff around the house and you immediately know where it is without having to stand for a couple of minutes and wonder where everything is, you can just go straight to it. So it gives you time to do other things, I guess, as well.
We say it gives you time, but I imagine being as tidy as you are, because if you look at your page, there's some fantastic images there of everything being sort of neatly folded and stored away and everything. Does that itself not take time?
No, you just get into a routine of doing it. Everything has its place, so certain drawers of the children's clothes and stuff, you kind of know where the vests go, the shorts go, the baby grows go. So it takes a couple of seconds just to wrap each one up and put it in its place.
See, that's another question, isn't it? The children, how tidy are they?
Well, the little ones are actually better than the bigger ones. So I've got four boys and I think my 10-year-old puts the older two to shame. He's extremely tidy.
That's good, isn't it? Setting an example. Very good. So my flat, for instance, is very messy. I am one of those people who I can't find things unless they're in front of me. That's my excuse anyway. So I just leave things lying out. What's the first thing I should think about doing to try and get into a habit of actually decluttering them?
I would just maybe tackle one corner, maybe a bookshelf, look at the storage that you've got and what you want to go in it. I put a post up recently about your airing cupboards, where your towels, toiletries. A lot of people, when you open it, generally things just seem to fall out. So what I'd recommend is just getting everything out of the cupboard, folding it up neatly, putting it into certain piles, the bath towels, hand towels, and then looking at the storage you've got and then cleaning it before you put it back in.
Should we be spending that £25 on storage solutions, Clutter Queen?
Not yet.
Oh.
You need to organise your stuff first. The people that generally just go to TK Maxx to buy a box, I think Chrissy just said.
Maybe.
To put something in
it. Well, the retailers are available, but yes, I might do.
And then, so people just generally find they've got lots of boxes for lots of different things. So I'd recommend that you organise your stuff first, assess the space you've got, and then buy your storage for it.
But it's sold, isn't it, as a lifestyle thing, having storage solutions?
Yeah. So, that's generally what they're there for. But if you're just buying a storage solution to put something in it that you don't necessarily need, you'll just end up with lots of storage solutions.
So they're useful once you know what you need to put them in. And then you don't have too many either, because yes, I think I do have a habit of essentially just using them to hide everything. And then you forget what you've got anyway. So you end up going and buying the same things over and over again, don't you?
But then you also get the thing where you buy lots of one thing, I don't know, like shower gel, for example, because you think, well, I don't want to run out. And if it's on offer, you see it and sort of bulk buy it. And then you end up cluttering your home with loads of products, when actually you could just buy it when one's running out, maybe.
Generally, if you keep them all in the same place, you know when you're about to run out, rather than just going and buying it every time you go shopping and then realizing that you've got some in your bathroom, some in your bedroom, some downstairs, some still in your car. If they're all stored in one place, it makes it a lot easier when it comes to shopping.
So it's this sort of like, it's like the ripping the plaster off, isn't it? So it's taking that initial time to sort everything out, and then it'll be much easier once you're at that point. Those are all our late lunch leftovers for this week. Do tune in for the main helping on Manx Radio weekdays just after 2 p.m.
Every week, of course, we'll have our regular features with Duxford Diaries. We'll have Mark Tiley's Greatest Hit, Midweek Mindfulness, and plenty more with our monthly guests as well.
But for now, thank you so much for listening to the Late Lunch Leftovers podcast. We'll see you again next time.
Abbey Dental, sponsors of Late Lunch for all aspects of today's dental care. Highly recommended throughout the Isle of Man.